Bonjour and hello. Welcome to Northern Voices, celebrating ties to Minnesota's Northland. I'm Leah Lem, your host and a fellow Northlands explorer. Spring is underway. We've plotted out our garden, cleaned the garage, and we have our reusable bags ready for the farmer's market. I have to give shout-outs to my Northern community for all the help and input for so many things. It's not easy making the move from city life to Greater Minnesota, but we wouldn't have it any other way. We wouldn't have a garden without the guidance of helpers in our community. We're borrowing so many items that we just don't have or didn't even know we needed. Talking with others and getting advice has been a wonderful way to get to know our new community. Through conversations in these episodes, I'm learning even more about the traditions, sustainable practices, and the indigenous and ancestral ways of life of my new neighbors. Meal prepping is one of those goals that always seems beyond my reach. I love the idea of saving time, reducing waste, and keeping ingredients local. But my style of meal planning, up to now, has gone something like this. First, go to grocery store and buy the best meat that's on sale, buy some fresh vegetables that look good. Second, cook said meat and vegetables a couple days in a row. Third, repeat process. I admit, it gets very repetitive and more than a couple groans emanate from my family's vocal cords. Sorry, guys. But maybe there's a time-efficient, healthy method to preparing meals that won't get boring. So tonight for dinner, I'm going to try a recipe from the Rutabaga Project. It's not just a recipe, though. I'll tell you more in a few minutes. But first, I visit Virginia, Minnesota to speak with the Rutabaga Project manager, Kelsey Ganser.
The Rutabaga Project is a joint initiative between AEOA, which is the Arrowhead Economic Opportunity Agency, and IRPS, the Iron Range Partnership for Sustainability. It started at the beginning of 2016 with community conversations in three low-income neighborhoods in Virginia. And from those conversations about barriers to accessing food and coming up with creative solutions, we've developed different projects to address those barriers and meet those solutions.
Kelsey tells me all about the various initiatives that the Rutabaga Project is developing, from an edible food forest.
A food forest is an edible perennial garden. We have fruit trees and nut trees and berry bushes, and those will be available to anyone.
To little free pantries, little food cupboards around the community.
Those will have shelf-stable goods in them, and as well as nutrition resources. And we're partnering with some community organizations to help keep those stocked.
The Rutabaga Project also has community gardens and helps high school students with their own gardening. But I couldn't help but ask where the name for the Rutabaga Project comes from.
It's a regional vegetable. It also is a very hearty thing to grow, and it's easy to grow in this region. And you have it in these rutabaga pasties, which are a local food.
So I've seen pasties advertised around, but I've never personally had one. So I make sure I understand what a pasty actually is.
It's like a pot pie, but handheld and filled with meats and potatoes or rutabagas and sometimes other vegetables.
And the significance to the region?
The miners would take them down into the mines for their lunch, and so it has this regional heritage here.
I find out that the pasties would also stay warm until lunchtime, making them an ideal packed lunch. Next, we talk about an easy way anyone can be a bit more sustainable in their food making.
We have do-it-yourself meal kits in two local grocery stores at Natural Harvest Food Co-op and at F&D Meats. Just with meal planning in general is a great way for folks to reduce the waste that they have in their house. But not everybody has time to do that. And also not everyone has experience doing meal planning. So we hope that These will help individuals plan out their meals so that they are purchase the ingredients they need and things don't go to waste.
Now, I have to admit, and I don't think I'm alone here, I've tossed more than one bag of greens away because we don't eat it before it goes bad. Or we even forgot about a lovely piece of salmon in the fridge and ended up just closing our eyes and throwing it into the trash. This is not only a waste of the Earth's resources, but it costs my family money and time. So Kelsey talks about a way we can take a bit more control of our food situation while giving me a tour of the do-it-yourself meal kits she mentioned earlier.
Okay, so we have these do-it-yourself meal kits, and we have a bag with a measuring spoon and a measuring cup inside, as well as a recipe and shopping list. So when folks walk into the Natural Harvest Food Co-op, they'll see them right on their right-hand side, and anyone can grab one. They're free to take and just a resource to make shopping easier.
And if it's easier to use, it's more likely to get used.
The shopping list is priced out and by aisle, so it makes it really easy for individuals who either don't have experience putting together a shopping list themselves or just don't have time. They're also a lot more eco-friendly than some of those meals in a box that you can get mailed to your house. All items are EBT eligible as well. And we have tried to focus on having local or organic products on the recipe lists when possible.
Accepting EBT is also a way in which the Rutabaga Project helps support small farmers markets in their region. EBT is the electronic system that makes it possible for someone shopping to use their government benefits to pay for their items. So the Rutabaga Project, with the Arrowhead Economic Opportunity Agency, provides this capacity to help make this possible at the farmers markets they work with. Kelsey talks about how accepting EBT helps encourage sustainable food growing and purchasing.
We're opening the market up to individuals who might otherwise not have access to the market, and creating a new market for the vendors as well. It just creates a community atmosphere where anyone can come to the market, which if we want to build local food systems, we need to have places where small scale vendors can sell their produce. And local food systems are essential for sustainability.
I can't wait for farmers market season. So back to the meal kits. I receive several recipes from Kelsey. There are different salads, a whole wheat pasta bake, and cheesy chicken enchiladas. But my eye lands on what's called build your own casserole. The recipe is sectioned off into ingredient groups. There are proteins, vegetables, toppings, and more, all of which can be mixed and matched depending on preferences or what you might have on hand, or perhaps what's the best deal when out shopping. I take a quick look to see if I have any of the items needed. Surprisingly, I have about half of them. Ground beef, broccoli, rice. Well, I have wild rice, but that seems like a fine substitute. But then I get to the finer points of the recipe. I don't have any of it. This is actually where I struggle with cooking, which is making the meals interesting. So I swing by the grocery store to pick up an onion and some shredded Parmesan. It's easy to whip together in the kitchen, and my 5-year-old finishes his entire plate and asks if we can have it again. Plus, there's no food wasted, and it's simple enough for even me to make. Thank you, Rutabaga Project and Kelsey Ganser, for the great ideas and information about how my household can be a bit more sustainable and friendly for the pocketbook. I'm Leah Lem. Thank you for joining me for Northern Voices. Northern Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota. Musical Flourishes, brought to you by Sam Miltich. Continued Guidance and A Second Set of Ears by Aaron Warhol. Gigawabamin, and see you soon.